Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to host the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. I have a lot of exceptional entrepreneurs, business owners, real estate investors, insurance superstars, network marketers, direct salespeople, people in recovery on tonight's call. And many of you, I am very, very good personal friends with and proud of that. So I want to thank you for being on tonight's call. I have a very, very good call on adversity. I inadvertently made a short faux pas. I was thinking I was doing my money call. My call on money is next week, numismatic law, the laws that govern money. That will be next Tuesday night. That is a must. You want to attract as many people in your circle of influence to next Tuesday night's call, and even on tonight's call, it will absolutely be a crush call. I will cover a few quick announcements and move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I want to thank my exceptional friend, client, and host, Brittany Cara, for delivering world-class content this past Saturday in Los Angeles, California. Brittany and I will also be hosting another event in Los Angeles on January 21st. On August 20th, I'll be speaking in Albany, New York with my Paizan, Frank Francisco, who many of you have had the opportunity to share some content with Frank. Frank, I'm so proud of Frank. He has released over 200 pounds, and Frank will be sharing the stage with me in Albany, New York on Saturday, August 20th. I'm also, Frank is going to take me to one of my favorite kind of joints, Johnny's in Schenectady. On August 27th, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania with good friend Joe DiBianca. I will also be sharing the stage with Don Ferrantino. There will be other exceptional entrepreneurs in the audience. There will be people like Scott Aaron, C.G. Siddons, Joe DiBianca, Desiree and Michael Caluzzi, just to name a few of the exceptional business owners that I've had the privilege of collaborating with and connecting with in the last several years. But Dawn and I will be actually contributing the content to that event. That will be Saturday, August 27th. What a great day to end the late summer. Then on September 17th, Dawn Ferrantino and I will be in Clark, New Jersey. Dawn has been delivering world-class content for the last year that I've been sharing the stage with her. September 24th, my first ever visit speaking in New Hampshire, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, with one of the most exceptional young women I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with and coaching, Abby O'Neill. Abby, unequivocally, you will see her on the map of free enterprise, well on her way into multiple six figures already. She's setting records with her company, soon to be a seven-figure income earner. Milwaukee, Wisconsin with Jeremy Engel. Jeremy's a top-tier triathlete and business owner, college athlete, and a great client of mine. I'll be in Long Island, New York with Kelly Bartoletti and Joy Schoenholtz. Thank you very much, Kelly. It was Kelly's idea to originally bring me to Long Island, and Joy absolutely is crushing it in 2016. Columbia, South Carolina with this trifecta, Bridget Bartley, Jennifer Corliss Trinkna, and my exceptional world-class friend who's also an exceptional business owner, Carlotta Davis. Tampa, Florida with C.G. Siddons. Now, those of you who heard C.G. on my call a few weeks ago, that was one of the most heavily downloaded calls, with the exception of a Susan Sly call and a Dr. Joe Dispenza call that I did recently. The beautiful Missoula, Montana, October 29th. There's also a contingency of people from New Jersey following me to that event. That will be fantastic. I have an open date on November 12th I'm about to fill. November 19th, I get a return to one of my roots of the East Coast, Weehawken, New Jersey. Don Ferrantino, Joe Alonso, C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, and Alexis Romano, and I shared many, many Saturdays in Weehawken, New Jersey, doing events with Ron White and other exceptional speakers. That will be like a homecoming for me. The Sheraton Hotel right on the water. Some of you, I remember Kelly Bartoletti sat in the second row. Many of you, that was the first place you ever saw me speak, was in Weehawken, New Jersey. December 3rd, Atlanta. That will be with some exceptional women also. And February 17th, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with Joy Schoenholtz and Don Ferrantino. I just asked Don to share that event with me. There's a lot of good people in that area. So those are some of the places where you can see me speak before the calendar year 2016 is in the books. It's awesome. How many remember we were in Dallas, Texas back in the second weekend of January, and all of a sudden it's already the end of July. It won't be soon until it's the end of August. Now, many of you are going to your company events here in the late summer, early fall. So I commend you not only to go to the event, enjoy the event, but come home and apply the events, produce the events, overcome some of the anxieties that have kept you doing the same situations over and over. Now, any of you on tonight's call, as always, I offer free 15-minute coaching sessions. I implore you to take advantage of those. Some of my top-tier clients started off with a 15-minute coaching session. Many people go, what can you do for me in 15 minutes? Well, ask some of my top-tier clients. In as little as 2, 3, 4, or 5 minutes, I can break down cause and effect of why you do what you do. The first question that you answer, I can tell a lot about your communication style, about the people that affected you in your circle of influence, and cause and effect why you do what you do. I'm offering free 15 minutes of coaching. I will not be traveling this weekend or next. I'm taking a couple of weekends off. If you want to take advantage of some of my services, find out what I can do for you, contact me directly on Facebook with your phone number and what you're seeking from me. I will contact you immediately within the next day or two and give you great insight into the cause and the effect of why you do what you do, how to effectively brand yourself, how to let go of any emotional addiction that isn't a physical addiction, how to better position yourself in free enterprise, and how to relatively quickly change your law of attraction. So contact me on Facebook, or you can call me directly at 209-932-0227. On August 23rd, I'm proud to announce that I will have Corey Shaines as my guest. I'd originally booked Dr. Joe Dispenza to be my guest on August 23rd. He moved the date back a few weeks due to a scheduling conflict with an airline. He will be my guest speaker on April 15th. 2017. Sandy DiOrio has booked an event in, I believe it's in Edison, New Jersey, somewhere right in that area. We have the location booked. We'll be releasing tickets relatively soon once some of the major conventions are over. We'll start pre-selling the first few rows of tickets for the great Dr. Joe Dispenza next April 15th. In the interim, though, on Tuesday, August 23rd, I'm going to bring rock star internet marketer Corey Shaines. Corey is the part owner of Clean Food Crush. Corey assisted his partner to take that brand from 25,000 likes to over 1 million likes in less than 2 years. Corey will give you great insight on how to effectively create some relatively great skills on how to create leads online, how to build sales funnels, how to create your visibility, how to brand yourself better, and how to create traffic. Corey is from Staten Island, New York, and presently lives in Salt Lake City, Utah, where he is the co-founder of cleanfoodcrush.com. And to find out a little bit about Corey, go and look up that website. That is really a fantastic website. Corey is not a network marketer, a direct salesperson. That website is not an internet marketing or is not a network marketing company that will give you great insight on how to create visibility, traffic, and how to create some organic leads. That is definitely a date to remember. That is Tuesday, August 23rd. And with that, we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Tonight's call is a topic that I've covered a few times in my 20-plus year career as a speaker, the adversity factor. What does adversity mean? Adverse situations means challenging situations. Now, there's a high probability that some of you on tonight's call are right in the middle of adverse situations. There's a high probability that if you're an American, you have challenges with your finances. There's a high probability that many of you have liability debt. You don't even understand how much interest you're paying on your liabilities. You're avoiding them. You're in financial denial. There's also a high probability that some of you on tonight's call have some serious health challenges, and also some of you have some emotional challenges. Some of you have some addiction challenges. Some of you have avoidance and or procrastination challenges. And some of you have challenges understanding your challenges. And if any of those are you, this call is dedicated to you understanding how to let go of your anxiety that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. If your language style is filled with statements like, I guess, I don't know, kinda and sort of, then your communication is non-committal. For you to let go, you must be able to decide and commit one day at a time. Letting go is not a how do I or how or what are the how-tos. Letting go is a commitment and a decision practiced one day at a time, separating your feelings from events that shape them. Letting go is not difficult. Letting new is a new experience for many of you. And the more relaxed you are and the more relaxed you are in your body, the less likely you are to be and stay overwhelmed. You also have to address the stories that keep you doing and perpetuating the same set of situations, avoiding an outcome you feel you can't control. Now, for those of you who had the privilege of listening to the great C.G. Siddons 3 weeks ago on this very call, she broke it down for you. For those of you who have not listened to that call, you can go back to Podomatic and find the C.G. Siddons interview that I hosted 3 weeks ago, and she unequivocally broke it down for you. So what does control actually mean? Well, control means anxiety about a future situation that you don't know, don't understand, aren't certain of an outcome. But what you can control is the outcome of which you stay in. What many people do is they control their anxiety to fulfill a neurochemical feeling, which then gives them the outcome that they can control, typically avoidance and disappointment. Letting go of control is not difficult. Letting control go of control is typically a new experience that you experience by taking a deep breath, breathing into your body, letting your body sink down into its lower abdomen, creating a different neurochemical response in your body, creating a new feeling. But if you continue to do what you do, you will continue to create what you've created. That is typically an overwhelmed state based on past events that keep you in anxiety. If you own a business and you're on tonight's call, and that business is relatively new, or you're suffering through previous disappointments, companies may have let you down, employers may have let you down, relatives may have let you down, you may have a passive-aggressive person in your circle of influence that continues to give you insight and input about why you can't, why you shouldn't, why you will not be able to move to the other side of the country, succeed in a business, move down the block, or any multitude of situations. If you face this kind of adversity, a lot of the adversity you face is not physical. Now, if you have a physical ailment, that's a whole different situation, but typically the physical ailment that you have is related to a dis-ease in your body created by an event that you hold on to, that you perpetuate over and over, creating a neurochemical response based on anxiety. The typical anxieties that will affect you are anger, hate, and resentment, guilt and shame, abandonment and rejection, and overwhelmed feelings. If you've entered into a new direct sales business, internet marketing business, network marketing business, multi-level marketing business, real estate business, mortgage business, or any type of business that you can create leverage, meaning being compensated through the efforts of other people, you must realize that it's a new type of business model for most of you. Some of you may have been fortunate and grown up in a home or a family where your parents were skilled network marketers or had real estate skills or had an aptitude for selling that they may have passed on to you. None of this is innate for any of you. These are conditioned behaviors that you can master through repetition and experience, specifically as you let go of stories and anxieties that no longer serve you. When you learn to live and be and stay in your body and let go of the anxiety about the outcome, when you silence your inner critic, let go of your judgment, and are able to relax in your body, your hearing changes. But when you continue to tell yourself that you're not good with memory, that if no matter what you just heard, you're going to forget, if you think you have to take notes and write everything down, that means you're living in a lot of anxiety about a future situation that has not happened. Character building moments. I have written 4 books and co-authored another book called Money is My Friend. I have been through many character building moments myself. 14 years of my life, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic. My drug of choice specifically was alcohol, although I experimented with heroin, cocaine, barbiturates, psychotropic drugs. I also spent some of my life being a compulsive spender. I also was a pathological liar, a serial dater, and a whole series of other situations that would lead to high self-confidence and very low self-esteem. As a former high school athlete and a top-tier student in high school and college with very little studying because I was innately a good student and a good athlete, I never really took my games to the level that I was capable of because a large percent of my life I was overwhelmed. I was so productive being productive that I couldn't produce to the level of my production being productive. That was an addiction. I was so consumed trying to win other people over to fulfill my high self-confidence and then continue to live in low self-esteem. And I'll break this down for you. A large percent of society can create an identity being competent and confident, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have self-esteem. Self-esteem is permission-based. No one can give you self-esteem, although many people compliment you, tell you what a great effort you are, tell you how good you're being, and you'll hear some of that. There are leaders who will unequivocally edify you. There are also leaders who will criticize you. And some of the leaders who criticize you will allow your self-esteem to stay where it is because it recreates a familiar feeling, a neurochemical feeling based on past events, based on passive-aggressive people in your circle of influence that allow you to still continue to feel bad about yourself. You want to let go of your anxiety and stop giving people power who no longer deserve it. When people use force to try and control you, and then you succumb to their force, you become the counterforce to their force to stay overwhelmed, and you'll stay guilty and resentful. If guilt is a main emotion that drives you and affects you, if you feel too guilty to ask for a commitment, if you feel too guilty to receive and deserve, if you've become an addicted giver and an addicted over-obligator, well, it's not a black and white situation because there's still a lot of great qualities in giving. There's still a lot of great qualities in serving. But if service and giving have become your identity, it gives you very little room to be able to receive, ask, and deserve. You want to find a balance in this situation. You want to learn to let go of your enabling tendencies. You want to let go of your whole story. But the fact is this. The fact is I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I knew I had it, but I didn't know I had it. I spent a great deal of my time in doubt. I knew I was good enough, but I wasn't sure I was good enough. I knew I could be a millionaire, but I was destitute. I knew I'd had success before, but I'd lost it. So I would spend my time overwhelmed trying to control the control that kept me out of control. Control exhausts you. You cannot address adversity in anxiety. Anxiety breeds anxiety, and anxiety attracts anxiety. And it's not a, yeah, but, how do I don't understand, I'm not sure. That kind of language is addict talk. You have to move out of addict talk into a spiritual communication. You have to find your spirituality, and whatever that means to you, it means to you. You have to dig deep sometimes and ask yourself, is this the life I really want to live? Is this how I want to end? Do I want to tiptoe quietly through life and arrive at my grave safely? Do I want to die the greatest pain of regret? Or do I want to go out in a blaze of glory? Whether you're 18, 28, 38, 48, 58, 68, now is now. And when now is now, when you start to know, when you K-N-O-W, when you know that you know, then you'll stop doubting what you already know. But if you doubt what you know, then that keeps you in doubt. That keeps your foot on the dock and your foot on the boat. When you let go of the control that keeps you out of control, controlling the control that you control. Now, that isn't paradoxical. Those are facts. That means you spend a great deal of your time processing in your head, laughing when nothing is funny, using words like kinda, sorta, and guess. It robs you of your emotional, etheric energy. Many of you are going to go to an event in Las Vegas. I unequivocally embrace you going. Attend it. Crush it. Enjoy yourself. But when your ass is home, put it in the chair. Put it into practical application. Do something with that great content. Do something when you see someone else walk across the stage. Commit to be on that stage at the very next event with pride and dignity. And if you have a lot of debt, do the right thing. Pay it off. Don't walk away from it. Don't skirt your obligations. Have enough pride and dignity. Look at your flag, salute it, and realize that you still live in the greatest country in the world. No matter what's going on in the government, you're still free. Do something about it. Be a proud American, Canadian, Australian, wherever you're listening from. Find your dignity. Find that inner game. Find your resolve. Find your conviction. Find it. And stop whining. There isn't anything less attractive than a whiner. And whining, and keep that in context. Typically, that doesn't mean you whine to the world, but you whine yourself a lot. No one's giving me any love. I'm not in the right position. I don't have the right mentor. Well, frickin', I almost said it. Produce. Get your ass in a chair and close the sale. I can't afford to go to the event. Close 3 President's Packs this year. Rank it this week. Close 3 sales this week. Rank advance. Do something about it. I mean, when I was in that situation, I would get up early in the morning and I would start calling leads at 6 o'clock on the East Coast, and I might call until 10 o'clock or 1 o'clock on the West Coast, calling backwards to Alaska and Hawaii. So for you to overcome adversity, you must become resourceful, creative, and innovative. I don't have any leads. I understand. That's because you do not have a lead identity. That means you're not creative when it comes to leads. It means you're not constantly creating ways to create a lead. Leads are everywhere. Well, I can't cold call someone. Of course you can't, because of the dialogue you have with yourself. Cold calling sounds icy, but you could definitely call a lead. You could definitely call a phone number, especially if you had a system. A systemized way to ask people a question in a sequence. When you overcome your story and your anxiety, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that created your scarcity. If you live in lack, that's a direct reflection of your dialogue with money from the 18,000 meals or from the 20,000 meals you spent with the wrong financial planners. Be responsible for your feelings. Don't hold anyone else responsible. Forgive and let go. Forgive and release. When it comes to adversity, address it. I was once $1.5 million in real estate debt over 6 years ago. I was walking in my neighborhood with 2 beautiful Jack Russells, Rex and Trey, 2 of my pride and joys that I no longer have in my possession. But I was walking Rex and Trey in my neighborhood. I sat down on the curb and had a GOFC, good old-fashioned cry. I had an emotional meltdown because I was that much in debt. I'd been alluding that I had that much in debt. Now, I had enough money in the bank that I could have actually paid it off, but I developed a plan to be out of that debt in 3 years. I didn't quite make it in 3 years, but I had most of it paid off. I was able to pay that one house down and sell it. I paid my house down, and in 8 months, I'll be free of all liability debt, owning over $2 million worth of real estate. You could do the exact same situation if you developed a plan. If you developed a plan, devised a plan, not only planned a plan, but executed your plan. Execution and action is paramount. That is what addresses adversity. Ask yourself, what adverse situation am I avoiding? A lot of people avoid adversity and they deny themselves. This is why so many people don't understand the laws that govern money. I'm going to be breaking this down for you next week. If you're carrying $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 worth of liability debt in a house, you have a 30-year loan and you don't really understand it, you're so far upside down, you'll never get out of it unless you face the facts. The facts are you have to have a plan to release yourself of the debt that you accrued. No one put a gun to your head. The fact that you're uneducated and don't really understand money, that's not your fault, but now it's your responsibility to do something about it. But if you're not willing to do something about it and find a leveraged business to produce yourself out of it, then you're living in denial and you'll continue to live in scarcity and lack. But if you're ready to really break it down and have a better understanding of cause and effect, why you do what you do, then you will do everything within your power to live the life you unequivocally to deserve. And if you do this, you will have people say things about you. I consistently get accused of being a workaholic. Now, I don't feel like even getting into a conversation with someone and explaining to this person that on every 15th of every quarter, I owe the United States Treasury, the Franchise Tax Board, and a corporate tax $88,000. I don't feel compelled to tell my relatives or the people that criticize me that I have a payroll that I meet every first of the month that's about $50,000. They wouldn't understand that because these are the kind of people who trade time for dollars. They don't understand tax law. They typically don't pay off their debts. These are the kind of people that walk away from obligations, and then they take vacations on credit cards, and they don't fly first class. They don't stay in five-star hotels. They stay in cheap places because they're cheap. But those are the typical kind of people who actually criticize you for having enough courage and guts to face adverse situations head on. Your objective is not to ever show anyone up. It's not to ever say, look, see what I did. And the people who criticize you are not going to be the people that give you the hug and the high five. They're going to criticize you when you're successful. They're going to criticize you while you're attempting to be successful. They're going to criticize you because they're critical. And the more you let go of those critical people, and especially your own critical advisor, and you stop judging yourself and let go of your anxiety, then you can move into a higher level of awareness. And that kind of awareness is when you can transcend your consciousness. That kind of consciousness is where you can have a quantum leap, some greater than whole of part. And for you to have some greater than whole of part, you're actually going to have to sweat, meaning your low back will sweat, your temple will sweat, your arms will sweat, and some of that vileness will come out of your body. When you are so freaking committed to the cause, and your purpose, you will devote the proper energy, the proper exercise, the proper execution, the repetition, and the experience to deliver the life you deserve. And see, once you start to do that, then you can teach it. To lead by example is to be the example. If you don't have a great upline, be the upline that you never had. Stop whining about it. If you're not in a great position in your pay plan, then create a position that you can put some great people in a position. When you start doing that, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to the feelings that shape you being a victim. When you stop blaming your parents or blaming other people in your circle of influence, when you become accountable for your feelings, it's your feelings you must become accountable for, because it's your feelings that direct your words, and it's your words that direct your actions or your inactions. But if you continue to speak in an uncommitted, undecisive form of language and communication skills, then you will attract your reality people to foster your low self-esteem. As you start to raise your vibration, raise your expectations, and most importantly, create an action plan where you actually are in action a large percent of the day, and you start to let go of the anxiety and the angst that you produce in the action, when you're much more relaxed in the action, working hard is a component, but it's not so much the working hard, it's the effort. You want to create more results with less effort. You want a more relaxed effort. Instead of being so intense you alienate people, bring relaxed intensity into the game. Start to bring love and joy and bliss into the game. Start to reach out to some of your teammates, and instead of scolding them for not going to an event, let them know you understand. Instead of telling people what they have to do, ask them if they can do it. And if they can do it, don't be disappointed into them. Attract to your reality people and situations who believe what you believe. And as you start to change your belief, your sense of certainty, you'll attract to your reality people who live in less adverse situations. And your adversity, don't ever take your adversity down to people in your downline or your teams. Take your adversity to someone upline who will listen to you. And don't whine about it. Ask them for insight and advice how to overcome adversity. But most importantly, adversity is an inside game. Address your adversity with yourself. Start to have a systematic game plan to overcome your adversity. And most importantly, don't put yourself in adverse situations over and over to create a neurochemical response that fulfills your anxiety. Unfortunately, this is what many people do. They have a conflict consciousness. They actually create adversity because it creates a neurochemical high. They're late, chronically late. They sabotage themselves so they can start over. They alienate great teammates so they can be in conflict. And that is you. Change tonight. It's not a how do I change, it's a commitment to change. Don't let other people rob you of your energy. Don't hold other people responsible for your low self-esteem. Don't hold other people responsible for your addictions. Let go of the people who use guilt to control you, whether they're your family members, people in your circle of influence, so you can stop resenting them. Get really clear on who you are and create the kind of life that you deserve to live without having to explain, validate, and justify your existence to anyone. If you are you and you are truly free, then you don't have to explain yourself to anyone. As you start to live in that kind of energy, you'll begin to attract your reality, a different type of situation, a different kind of prosperity partner, a different kind of friend, a different kind of soulmate, someone you can actually collaborate with, express joy, love, bliss, and enlightenment. You want to be able to attract a partner who's going with you, not against you. If you have a partner that there's adverse friction with, number one, communicate. See if you can communicate yourself out of that adverse situation. And if you can't, do your best. If you're going to stay in that relationship, do your best not to give power to someone who's attempting to create adverse situations because they're anxious about losing control of the relationship. There is no control. Do your best not to be in friction with that person. Do your best not to explain, validate, and justify. And if you're going to go to an event and you're going to continue to use your credit cards to fund your business, then start to produce results so you're no longer in debt. There isn't anything worse than telling a spouse or a significant other you're going to be a millionaire, a millionairess, you're going to tear it up, you're going to crush it, you're going to do all these situations. You go to an event, you come home, you sit on your ass, and you don't do anything. If you're going to go to an event, come home and produce. P-R-O-D-U-C-E. Create this word, results, R-E-S-U-L-T-S. Close sales. Teach other people how to close sales. Do three-way calls that are short and effective. Learn how to close in two calls. Don't spend a lot of time with the wrong people. Start to understand what adversity is. Be able to look it in the face instead of walking right into it. Do your best to neutralize adversity. Walk around it. Don't engage in conflict when conflict isn't necessary. Engage in conflict only when required. Don't create a heightened awareness out of conflict. Avoid at all costs. That doesn't mean you turn the other cheek. It means that you learn how to be productive rather than right. So many people would rather be right. They'll go to great lengths to prove you right. Disengage from these conversations as soon as possible. Most importantly, let go of being overwhelmed while you live in the solution. If you're overwhelmed, it's a neurological condition that's become a behavior. Oftentimes people are overwhelmed because of how many obligations they had to take on as children. Then the obligations they take on as children, they take on as adults, and they become a chronic over-obligator. Be able to let go of obligations without guilt. Don't say yes to everything. If someone invites you to a wedding on the other side of the country and you have to put it on your credit card and you can't afford it, stop doing these situations. It doesn't make sense. Start to make decisions based on what's going to be best for you and let go of the guilt that you feel about letting other people down. Develop great habits one day at a time. The number one habit you start to develop, make your bed. It's the first thing you do in the morning. Exercise in the morning. Get up earlier to do an accomplished task. And if you're one of these people, say, oh, I can't do that. I have to have 8 hours or 10 hours of beauty rest. I'll tell you right now, the most successful people I've ever interviewed, ever spent quality time with, typically don't do that. Rest is important. Sleep is when you toss and turn. A lot of times people sleep and they're guilty in their sleep what they didn't accomplish yesterday. When you rest at night, rest in a very relaxed alpha-delta state. But if you say, I can't sleep at night, I can't turn the engine off, my brain races, it doesn't stop, I require melatonin, a psychotropic drug, a barbiturate, then you're emotionally addicted to a set of feelings that you can't turn your body off, and now you believe you require an alternative source to toss and turn. You don't want to be tossing and turning. You want to relax in a REM state, a very relaxed release state, so that you wake up, you are inspired. When you're inspired, you can face adversity without anxiety. If you face adversity in anxiety, it's completely non-conducive to being able to overcome the adversity. If you're worried about the adversity, oh my God, I have so much debt, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of it. Oh my God, my brain races, I can't turn it off. If that's how you talk, the minute I get off to this call, I'm going to forget everything you said. See, if that's the way you communicate with yourself, you get to be right. That means you live in an absolute. You're not aware. It means you say the same thing over and over to create the same result, to fulfill the feelings that you stuff that'll end up the refrigerator, at happy hour, in the liquor cabinet, online compulsively shopping, and doing all the other multitude of addictions that lead to your low self-esteem. Your self-esteem is a direct reflection of how you feel about yourself. See, you can create results, but that's not going to give you self-esteem. If someone gives you a compliment and you can't receive it, that's a direct reflection of your inability to receive and deserve. As you let go of the control that keeps you out of control, overwhelmed, in anxiety, in rejection and abandonment, in shame and guilt, then you unequivocally cannot be effective as a business owner. When you transmute your energy from guilt, shame, abandonment, and rejection, you're going to attract to reality people of like mind to fulfill your feelings of low self-esteem. Self-esteem is how you feel about self at any given moment, specifically now. Self-esteem is permission-based. You can't address adversity and low self-esteem because you'll get overwhelmed. You'll see the adversity, then your self-talk will kick in. You go, oh my God, this always happens to me. There's no way I'm going to get out of this. There is. You produce yourself out of your problems one day at a time with a plan. If you have so much debt you can't look at it, create enough money to create an extra payment every single month. You'd be amazed what an extra $500 a month does to an interest rate on a loan, specifically when you apply it to the principal, and the bank and lending institutions will not apply it to the principal unless you direct them to. The greatest Ponzi in the world is loaning money that does not exist and charging 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and in some credit cards, 28%. And if you're going to use credit, have a plan to pay it off. The plan to pay it off comes from production. That's how you address adversity. Oh, I'm never going to get out of this. You're right. If that's how you communicate with yourself, you talk yourself right into your anxiety so you have low self-esteem, so you can attract broken souls from broken homes with broken bones who are broke dicks who won't produce so you can be and stay disappointed. Oh, I can't believe it. I lost one of my consultants today. You can't lose what you don't have. That's the law of attrition. People come and people go. That's not adversity. That is facts. But if you turn a fact into an adverse situation so you can fulfill your drama to be disappointed, you're an addict. And if you want to let go of being an addict, then you have to be able to address the cause that creates the effect that keeps you perpetuating the same situation over and over. I'd really like to hire you, Mr. Combs, but I don't have that kind of money. Actually, typically what it means is you don't have the courage to attract and create or leverage something you have, because you have so much anxiety about controlling the control that doesn't happen. What I have found is the people who typically are able to overcome adversity are people who find money. I once was $99,000 in credit card debt, was down to $4,000 in credit card checks, was not married, had no spouse, no significant other, no trust, no parents supporting me, living in a small apartment about 1,000 square feet that I couldn't make the rent, couldn't make the car payment, and how did I get out of it? I produced. I sat down, I put in 12 to 14-hour days, 90 days in a row. I enrolled 15 people, 15 people, 17 people, 15 people, 15 people, 15 people, and I had no leads to start with. I created leads. I went out into the mall. I created a millionaire survey. I created a flyer in a plastic twist bag, in a bag with a twist tie, in a rock. I wrote a interest-creating remark card, and I went out at midnight for 2 hours every night for weeks, throwing them in different driveways, not only in my city, but adjoining cities around, and I was creating 3 to 5 leads a week off that. I was going to Barnes & Noble on Friday nights, and I was putting interest-creating cards in magazines that would sell relatively quickly, and I was putting in some of my favorite books that would sell relatively quickly. I'd create 3 to 5 leads a week off that endeavor. Right there were 10 leads a week that I would create off that endeavor. That was after hours. That was after non-revenue producing time. People go, don't you ever sleep? I rest, but I wasn't in dire straits. I wasn't broke. I was financially challenged. I knew it was temporary. I knew I wasn't going to file bankruptcy. I knew I was going to overcome it, and I was committed. And it was that kind of commitment that began to attract to my reality a different kind of person that I'd been attracting the previous 6 years. You don't perform your best when your back's against the wall. You perform your best in a relaxed state of awareness. You cannot address adversity in anxiety, because it creates more adversity. It compounds how big the situation is. When you're relaxed, when you let it go, and you break it down to one day at a time, what you do daily, then adversity can become an asset, not an ally, not an enemy. And you don't want to be skilled at adversity. You want to be skilled at not creating adversity. Address adversity and don't attract drama and chaos to your reality. And when it happens, neutralize it relatively quickly so adversity does not compound. But if you pride yourself in addressing adversity, then you have a conflict consciousness, meaning you create adversity to create a neurochemical response where you create a high that you overcome. So you're overcome a big challenge. You don't want to overcome big challenges. You want to be productive one day at a time over a long career. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I host this call each and every Tuesday night. This call was officially recorded and will be available for playback tomorrow at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Next week's call will also be recorded. It will unequivocally be one of our best. This call is officially a call. Have a great evening, everyone. If you want to get a hold of me directly, you can do that at 209-932-0227. 209-932-0227. You can also inbox me, letting me know what you'd like me to assist you with. I will return your call within 24 hours. Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.